So this month we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And some people might wonder, so why are we doing this song, this kids' song every week? Is it just, you know, is it just for the kids? But it's not just for the kids. We're doing this song every week so that we might memorize this list, because Paul gives this list to the church. And he gives this list to the church of what a life looks like when we give ourselves, when we commit ourselves to a deeper relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And so we're memorizing this list because when you're feeling impatient, or you're ready to lash out because you're angry, or you're just feeling unkind, or you're having a time in your life when you're just not feeling any upbeat, or you're not feeling upbeat or joy, or you just feel like maybe you're lacking faith, then we can just recite these virtues: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And focus again on the life that God wants for us, the life that God says is possible if you'll just deepen your relationship with me. So each week we're looking a little more closely at a virtue of the Holy Spirit, a virtue of the fruit. And last week, if you were with us, I talked about patience, and I used the example to start of my own life. Some of you may remember last week, I said I'd gone in to get a suit, and it wasn't ready, and they didn't even know when it was, and there was not a tailor available, and I started to get really impatient, and in the midst of that, I was like, oh, I'm preaching on patience this week. I'm preaching on impatience. I'm preaching on patience this week, and I should, you know, maybe practice this and let the Holy Spirit take over this moment. And I did, and I learned this week that the tailor is now working a few hours a week, and it's just going to be a couple more weeks as she gets caught up. And, you know, patience is a virtue, and it feels like, you know, having patience kind of paid off in my life. So this week, our fruit is kindness, and I'm going to begin by talking about my cat, because our relationship is not kind. My cat's name is Belle. And Belle, early in life, shattered, actually, my kind of big screen TV. And then Belle just bites my toes, really kind of whenever she feels like it. And Belle whines a lot. And so our relationship is not particularly kind. And I thought maybe preaching today on kindness would help me toward a kinder relationship. It worked on patience, so maybe it'll work today on kindness. So today our topic is kindness. And really, I should say, it's not my cat. It's Cheryl's cat and Noah's cat and Ella's cat. Belle and I have just, we're in a living arrangement together figuring out how to do life. So, on with kindness. Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips today and speak through them. And take our minds, Lord, and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to be honest this morning. A message on kindness, preaching on kindness, it's really kind of strange. Because, right, be kind is a lesson that we teach to our preschoolers and our kindergartners. Right, don't call people names. Don't gossip. Work out your differences with somebody with respect. Don't act out in anger toward the other. Stand up for somebody being bullied. Reach out to those who are feeling left out. Forgive. Be nice. Right, aren't these all things that are covered in our preschool and kindergarten classrooms and in our homes when our kids are that age? And so the thing is, if we learned our lesson about kindness in preschool and kindergarten, shouldn't we know it and practice it as adults? Unfortunately, a glance at the world says we don't. Right, today, I think we need to talk about kindness in the church, because there's too much unkindness in our world. There is too much name-calling and belittling. There is too much gossip, people disparaging others and even their churches behind backs, instead of being willing to work out differences in person and with respect. There are too many acting out and hurting other people with their anger. There is too much bullying. There are too few standing up for those who are left out or oppressed or hurt. And there is a lack. There is a lack of forgiveness and grace. So did we fail preschool? Or has something happened in our lives as adults that we think that somehow those things that we teach our preschoolers and kindergartners, that somehow they don't apply to us anymore? It would be awkward, and frankly, to gather all of us together today, whether you're sitting here in person or whether you're joining us online, it'd be really awkward to take us all into one of the preschool classrooms, but that really seems right today, just to sit in a preschool classroom. So I want to invite you just to imagine for a moment that you're sitting in a preschool classroom with all of us, right? And imagine you're hearing the lessons of the teacher, and she's teaching all the ways that we remember that we've been taught to be kind and to care for each other. And now imagine there's a group of preschoolers in the room with us, and we turn to those preschoolers, and we ask them to take a look at the world, at what's going on in the world, and we ask them, so are those people being kind? Are those people following the instructions of being kind to one another? If it helps, this is not a new challenge, kindness. This is not a new challenge for humanity. In fact, listen to what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32, if you have your Bibles at home or if you want to follow along on a translation on your phone today. This is what Ephesians 4, 29 says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, Paul would not have had to tell the church in Ephesus to be kind to one another if they were already being kind. This unkindness of humanity goes back a long way and goes back even in the church a long way. And this phrase keeps echoing, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. See, when we're unkind, or when we allow unkindness to spread around us, or when we take part in systems that are unkind and oppress and tear people down or push people down instead of building them up, Paul says that we grieve the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of grieving the Holy Spirit. So how do we nurture the value and virtue of kindness in our lives? Or if we think biblically with this analogy, this idea of spiritual fruit, how do we cultivate more kindness in our world today? Well, first, I think we need to realize, I think we must realize that kindness is more than like a week of random acts of kindness. Don't hear me wrong. There's nothing wrong with going out and doing kind acts or a week of random acts of kindness. I think that's great. But the virtue of biblical kindness that Paul is talking about, it's deeper than a single kind act or even a group of kind acts. It's more rich. It's more powerful than that. Paul says kindness is putting aside bitterness and rage and lying and deceit and anger. It's putting all of that aside, right? So in some ways, kindness is what we don't do, or the emotions that we don't act on. And then in 2 Timothy, we find this. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Notice the connection here to the heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Right? Kindness, it's not a single action. Kindness is a spiritual virtue. It's living our lives every day, living every day of our life, every moment, focused on pursuing God's love in every interaction with others. Right? Kindness is a spiritual virtue. It's living every day focused not on having it our way, focused not on winning or proving a point. Kindness is grounded in living every day and pursuing God's love in every moment, so that it's God's love that manifests itself in every interaction that we have with others. Kindness is both what we do and what we don't do. Now, to cultivate more kindness in our world, the second thing that we must know is that the model for a life of kindness, it's found in the story of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we look for it in other places, but ultimately, the model for kindness comes in our model from the life of Jesus Christ. This is from the letter to Titus. At one time, we were too foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Just think of that as we look out at sort of the climate in the world today. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. It says, when the kindness of God appeared for us, we were made new in that. And then this is from Jesus' words in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus says to His disciples, to His followers, "But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Right, we learn from the witness of the Bible, from those who've come before us, that God is kind. God is kind enough to save us even when we don't deserve it, even when we've messed up. And God's kindness, it isn't bound by our response. God's kindness is there for us no matter what. God, in sending Jesus, showed us the ultimate act of kindness, the ultimate way of showing our kindness, our love to one another. So our life of kindness is modeling the forgiveness of God and the accepting love of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes when we think about being kind, we're taught to be kind because we'll get something in return, like it'll be better, things will be better if you're just kind. Or sometimes we think about being kind because someone deserves our kindness, which isn't untrue, but the ultimate reason for being kind is because God has been so kind to us. And if we are kind to others, we'll give them just a glimpse, just an idea of what the kindness and grace of God is like for them in their lives. And as we think about cultivating kindness in our world, the third thing we find is that we will find the power to be kind, the motivation to be kind, to live a life of kindness, not in ourselves, but in our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. We'll find the power to be kind, not in ourselves. It's not just about somehow trying harder to be kind. A life of kindness begins from our relationship with God and the Holy Spirit. Paul writes this to the church in Rome, and if you've picked up a theme, Paul writes on kindness a lot. Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, "Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." And then Paul writes this in his letter to the Colossians, "Therefore, as God's chosen people," these words we heard with the kids today, "as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Certainly, we can commit to doing acts of kindness, and that's not a bad thing. But a true life of kindness, the kind where we don't lash out, the kind where we're not quarrelsome, the kind where we put aside personal grievances and offer grace and forgiveness or for the sake of love, that kind of kindness, it doesn't come out of a greater effort, but it comes out of our relationship with God. Every day, Paul says, every day, just like you put on your clothes, says every day you can put on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, what a great way to think about it. Every day when you get up and when you start to put on your clothes, what if every day we just stopped and thought, okay, I'm also putting on my relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to recognize that that relationship is with me in each moment of this day, just as real as the clothes that I have on. Let God clothe you for the day ahead. And then we can live out of that relationship with the Holy Spirit and not out of just whatever's going on for us in the moment of the day. So in each moment of the day, when we're about to do something or we're about to say something or we're about to post something on social media, we can turn to the Holy Spirit that is really living in us and say, is this that I am about to do, this that I'm about to post, this that I'm about to say, is this kind? Is this thing that I'm about to do or say or post, is it motivated by the Holy Spirit? Is it out of my relationship with the Holy Spirit that I'm going to do this? Or is it something I'm doing to try and prove my point or to lift myself up or to win? Because if it's any of those things, it's probably not of God. But if it's to gently teach, or to care, or to lift up someone else, that is the kindness that comes from the Holy Spirit. Tertullian was an early church father who led the church around 200 AD. And he wrote, so think 150 years or so, 150 to 200 years after Jesus, and he wrote a lot. But one of the things he wrote, it's really interesting, is he wrote that outsiders, so those who were not followers of Christ, were confusing the words for Christian and kindness when they were referring to the followers of Jesus. Now, the word for Christian in Greek is Christianos, and the word for kindness that Paul uses in the list of the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit and in other places, the Greek word for the fruit of for kindness is krestatos. And you can kind of hear the similarity in those words. What Tertullian says is that some people were going around calling the followers of Jesus kindness people instead of Christ people. And I just have to wonder, Tertullian doesn't really say this, but maybe that was just a mispronunciation and they were confusing words as they heard them in passing, but maybe. Maybe the church was taking heart. The teachings of Jesus and the letters of Paul that were already circulating. Maybe they were living by those words so much that when people saw them, they were like, yeah, those are the kindness people. Maybe it so much wasn't about pronunciation, but it was because the church had so taken this virtue at the heart of the list that Paul gives, and were living by it, and became known as the kindness people. So are we kindness people today? Is Ephesians 4 just a nice thought, some nice things that we learned in preschool, but it doesn't apply anymore? Or are we committed to becoming Ephesians 4 kind of people? In an ever divided and increasingly hostile world, are we the people of Clay Church and the people of the church who are watching wherever today? Are we willing to live a life of kindness? Are we ready to model for the world and become, yeah, I know those followers of Jesus, they're kindness people. Are we ready to live by Ephesians 4? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen.